But let's turn in our Bibles to chapter 10 of Romans. Romans chapter 10, a great chapter. We often read it in connection with the Roman road. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 10:13, 10:9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Famous passages in it. And yet, as we know, it's all right, it's fine if we go to somebody else's table and they provided the table primarily for themselves, but they give us food from the table. And so, Romans 9, Romans 10, Romans 11 are a little bit different than Romans 1 to 8. In Romans 1 to 8, it's to the whole world. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. The question is naturally raised, why is it that so few Jewish people have come to Christ? And in Romans 1 to 8, you have this great doctrinal foundation of the entire Bible, so important to get a grip on the sin of man, the justification of the sinner, the sanctification of the believer, as it's given there by the Holy Spirit in those eight chapters. But now the question is raised, before we come to the practical section in chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. The therefore refers really back to the first eight chapters, but in between, we have this parenthesis. And if you look at the beginning of each of the three chapters, it's Israel, chapter 9. Israel, chapter 10. Israel, chapter 11. Why is it that the people through whom the Bible was written, the people through whom the Messiah came, have by and large rejected the Messiah? By and large. There's certainly great exceptions. There's a remnant that has not. There will always be a remnant. But that is the section here. That is what we're dealing with. And though, as we see in the other chapters, there's great application to us, the table is primarily spread for Israel, but it's all right for us to come and partake of the table too. We do. But let's keeping that in mind, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are thankful today for the Bible, how wonderful it is, and reading it and studying it, and this great chapter that we, this great verse that we'll come to shortly, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And if there's one here today that has not yet believed, may the Word of God, may it touch their heart. May they come to saving faith as they hear it. And Lord, we do pray, though, undertake for us. May you be very present in our services this morning as we open the Scriptures. In thy name we pray. Amen. 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 So, chapter 9. Dealt with, we saw it last week, the choice of Israel as the channel through which the Bible would come and through which the Messiah would come. And God took a little rivulet off the great river of mankind at the end of chapter 11. The little rivulet was Abraham. Through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob would come, the Jewish people, the 12 tribes, 70 families, placing them in that land that's at the center of the earth, three continents of Asia, Africa, Europe, and the center of the world. And that's where the drama of redemption would be played out. That's where the old rugged cross is going to stand. That's where the prophets would come. That's where the 66 books of the Bible would be written from. And so there you have it. But the question is, why so few? Why so few? And as a matter of fact, the Bible even refers to it as a mystery. A number of mysteries in Scripture. The rapture is a mystery because it's only revealed fully in the epistles. And you have a number of things called mystery. One of the mysteries is the mystery of Israel's blindness. But it's explained here in these chapters. Chapter 9, you have the choice of Israel. Chapter 10, you have Israel's temporary rejection. Why were they rejected? Because they turned away from the Messiah. And rather than taking the Bible, they took the Talmud of all things. And then chapter 11, the future reception of Israel. One day they will see their Messiah, and many, many of the nation will come to saving faith. And that's basically, but then there's a lot of application here that we will apply to ourselves, but you'll see. And in this chapter, and we're going to look at all of it this morning, you've got three main points. You've got the reason for Israel's rejection. You've got the remedy for Israel's rejection. And you've got the result of Israel's rejection. And so we're going to have Sam stand for the first time now. And if you'd like to read verses 1 to 13, please, of chapter 10. And you can stand there. I won't make you come up all these steps three times. That's too much. Okay, you can face, yes, that's it. Thank you very much. And so here we see this, and the failure of Israel, why they turned away, is really the failure of everyone who turns away from Christ. And there were five things that where Israel failed, why they were rejected. But this is the same thing that will cause your own rejection. Number one, they failed because of zeal without knowledge. There are people who are very interested in their religion. They may be zealous. They may work very hard to try to achieve some measure of righteousness, but it's zeal without knowledge. And Israel turned away from the Bible. Rather than believe the Bible, they began, like barnacles to a ship's hull, to make many additions to the Bible. That finally resulted in what we know today as a Talmud, and rather than just believe the Bible. And then number two, they failed to see that their Old Testament law was not an end in itself, but it pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever they read about the tabernacle, of the priesthood, of the offerings, it was made very plain. This is something pointing to something beyond itself. It's not an end in itself. And it pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks about that in Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. But they made an end of the school. They want to stay in the school forever rather than see how it pointed to Christ. And then they failed to see the closeness of salvation, that it's something very near, that you don't have to make a long pilgrimage or you don't have to go up. And they knew they were going to be scattered. They didn't have to go back to Jerusalem, but they failed to see the nearness of salvation, that it's as close as a prayer to Christ. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We'll see more of that. And then they failed to see the universality of the great offer of salvation. Three times in this context, we've had that word whosoever. And whosoever means every one of us here. And they didn't like that. They kind of looked upon themselves as the chosen people. And that was exclusive. Actually, they were to be a priest to the nations. In chapter 19 of Genesis, I'm sorry, of Exodus, and verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. A priesthood to the nations. And they were the means by which the rest of the world... Thankfully, the Bible that came through them, the Messiah that came through them, was that. But they, the channel, did not see the whosoever will aspect of it. And then they failed to heed the gospel messengers. And listen, this gets awfully wearisome. You can go to Isaiah, refuse the gospel messages. Ezekiel. Refused the gospel messengers, particularly Jeremiah refused the gospel messengers. And so this is the same thing that will mean that you come short of heaven this morning. You fail because, it's on my terms rather than the Bible. Fail to see that anything we do, it must point to Christ. Christ is the center, not our works and what we do, but Christ. In Him, it must be all the preeminence. Or the nearness. You don't have to take a pilgrimage someplace. It's as near as a prayer to Christ. It's for whosoever will. And that's three times it's found here. You fail because of that. Oh, I'm not in that particular group. Or you fail to hear the gospel messengers. You've heard, you've had tracts, you've had loved ones pray for you, but you have not come. You have not come. And so they failed in all of these respects. And certainly... one of the key words in chapter 10 is the word righteousness. They really wanted to be righteous, but they wanted to achieve it on their own terms. And people kind of like to write their own Bible. I will do it my way. I'll find my way rather than just come by the Bible way. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration, Titus 3, 5, and 6. The famous passage, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 4, 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. That means the object of your faith, which is Christ, is placed on your account, as Christ himself is placed on your account, the object of your faith. And Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. So, they had all of the Old Testament. They had this great object lesson. We love to study the tabernacle, priesthood, and offerings of the Old Testament, because in retrospect, we see what a magnificent illustration it is of the gospel. As a matter of fact, it's assumed when we come to the New Testament that we have some understanding of the great offerings of the Old Testament, the tabernacle with all of its ordinances, some knowledge of it, because that was an object lesson that's fulfilled in Christ. But it's a, you know, like we teach children lessons. Well, it was the school. And we like, as believers today, we like to dip into it and see something of that. But they made it an end in themselves, in itself. They did not see how it pointed to Christ. It was a schoolmaster. It was a schoolhouse. And they wanted just to stay in the schoolhouse rather than eventually place faith in Christ. And then in verses 5 to 10, so in the first five verses, you see some of the basic reasons why they failed. But they're the same verses that we would apply to any lost sinner. It's the same reason why you might come short of coming to faith in Christ. And then it goes on in verses 5 to 10, the Holy Spirit gives a striking example of how Christ is the last page of all that we see in the Old Testament. The law, the priesthood, the prophecy, it all points to Him. There's a lady that's written a great book. You can buy it on Amazon. And she wrote it 100 years ago, but it's called Christ in All the Scriptures. And she does it as well as anybody ever has, showing how the Scriptures in the Old Testament point to and how it points to Christ. And others have done it too, but I'm thinking of her name slips me right now. But they failed to see the nearness of salvation. When Moses was about to die, he sang a song, but it was a song that had parts of it you didn't really want to hear. And in this song, he spoke about the fact that Israel, through their unbelief, would be scattered around the world. And then he gives a passage at Deuteronomy 30, verse 14, that if in one of these far-flung places, if they come under conviction, they won't have to take a long pilgrimage back to Jerusalem. But if they hear the gospel, and in Deuteronomy 30, verse 14, the word is very nigh thee, even in thy heart, in thy mouth, is the word of God which is preached unto you. It's nigh, that if you confess, if you believe, you'll be saved. In false religion today, you often have to take a long pilgrimage and go someplace, but you won't have to do this, so he tells them that. And so it doesn't matter where we are in the world, whether we're in the pink of health or in a hospital bed someplace, whether we're in the midst of our family or whether we're across the ocean from our family, wherever it is, you can hear the gospel, you can be saved. And so that point is made in these passages that we've seen. You don't have to go on a long pilgrimage. It's very close to where you are. And then in verse 9, he tells them that famous passage in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart. In other words, it's assumed if you believe in your heart, you're going to confess it to the Lord, but you're going to tell other people too, that Christ hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with a heart man believeth unto the righteousness, and with mouth confession to salvation. Now it's all one act. And it's a confession to Christ. No matter where you are, no matter whether you got a full bank account or nothing in the bank account, no matter you're in good health, poor health, no matter if the state of your life is sad or glad, no, Christ will save you. It's near. If thou shalt confess, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Chapter 10, verse 13. Let me tell you, though, and here is the snare on that verse. It is not faith in your call that saves you. Oh, I did what God wanted me to do. No, that's not really the way to look at it. It's the object of your call. The call is merely a channel through which you're expressing faith in Christ. My faith is in Christ. Oh, I might pray when I accept Christ, but it's not my prayer that saves me. It is Christ. It's the object. Faith, it's not faith in, the Bible says of Abraham in Genesis 15, verse 6. Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, it wasn't faith in faith, but it's the object of our faith. It's the object of our prayer that saves us, and the object is Christ. So we embrace Christ. We might express it in different ways, but it is Christ who saves us. And these are such simple, direct truths, but the Jews missed it, and many Gentiles miss it too. And even growing up in a Christian home, you can miss it. It's not faith in faith. It's not faith in your prayer. It is Christ. My faith is in Christ. I know, I like to use 2 Timothy 1:12, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. The object is him. Not, oh, did I pray long enough? Did I pray loud enough? Did I use the right words in my prayer? You know, Satan can work your mind on that, and, oh, you didn't do it right. You weren't. No, it's faith. It's faith in Christ. Or did I believe enough? Did I understand? No, it's faith in Christ. My faith is in Christ. And I just believe he is my Savior, and I believe he died for me, and I'm just trusting him, and I'm not looking at me at all. And are you sincere? Oh, no, I don't think I probably am. I don't. I'm up and down all over the place, but my faith is in Christ. My faith is in Christ. And so that is the point. So this is a chapter like chapter 9, like chapter 11, it begins with Israel. The table is spread for Israel. We're dealing with this great mystery. Why is it that God's ancient people have turned away so graphically, almost universally, from the gospel? The table is spread for them, but we are able to eat from the food of this table. And the great verses that we use in our salvation, soul winning, come from this chapter. So that is very good. And then, so you've got that. So here is the reason for their rejection. They failed to see the five things. They failed to see the nearness of salvation. They failed to see it is by faith in Christ. And they always wanted to interject a work. Oh, I will trust this or that, or we'll get to Jerusalem. That's where you will find it. And no, even the woman of Samaria, when Christ spoke to her in John chapter 4, she kept talking. Now, do you worship God on this mountain, or do you worship God on that mountain? And the Lord said, no, the true worshipers worship the Father in spirit and in truth. We just worship Christ. It doesn't matter where, on the mountain or in the valley or halfway up, we just worship Christ. We just believe in Christ. All right, Sam, the second section here, let me tell you the verses to read. If you could stand and read verses 14 to 17 for us, please. Great, very direct verses, originally written for Israel, but clearly we come to that same table. That's how we're saved. The preacher is sent. The messenger of the gospel is sent. We're all to be a messenger of the gospel. The sinner hears the word. They see the word. The Bible's obviously written down, so whether you read it or hear it, the same effect. We read the Bible. There is a great emphasis on preaching because of the in preaching you can herald it. You can herald it. And both are necessary, reading, but also heralding the Word of God. That's why we have church services. So, yeah, we can read the Bible all week long, but several times during the week, we like to herald the Bible, and that's what preaching does. And then so the sinner hears the word, he may read the word. People are saved by reading it. Fellow and I started a Bible Institute years ago in Johannesburg. The man who helped, who I started it with, he was saved on ship. Somebody gave him a Bible. He just started reading the Bible, reading the New Testament, and was saved. And just hearing it by reading it, nobody really spoke to him. And then got to shore and found a church that taught these things. And so it's either but here the emphasis: the preacher is sent. He preaches the word. The sinner hears the word. The sinner believes the word, believes that Christ dies for poor lost sinners, doesn't understand it all, but simply believes it. Can't really come to an understanding of the great doctrines yet. He He learns those later, but he just believes it. Jesus loves me, this I know, the Bible tells me so. He died for me. He shed his blood for my sins. I believe it. I believe in him, and I'm telling him so. So that's the response. And then the sinner believes the word, and then he calls upon Christ in faith. He acknowledges that probably through the avenue of prayer. And he will tell the Lord, I believe you died for me. I've heard it. The preacher came. I heard the gospel, or I saw the tract, or I saw the plan of salvation. I believe. I do believe. So that is really the great. And so you see, it's by the Word of God that we have these truths. And then, it goes on in this chapter. It says, let's see, I'm trying to think. If I'm ready for you to stand up again, Sam. Yes, I'm going to have you stand up again. Here's the, just standing up three times has got me mixed up, Sam. Okay. Oh, yes, I just wanted to mention verse 15. Notice it says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, that is a point that will especially, if you look at the passage as it's given in the Old Testament, that is going to be Israel's response to the gospel when they hear it during the days of the tribulation period. But here we make application now that a person who brings the gospel to someone, maybe you took it to somebody's door, maybe you took it to somebody's house, maybe you took it out on the streets to the masses, the multitudes, but you took it. The feet that brought that gospel to an unconverted, to a lost person, the feet, those are beautiful, beautiful feet. Now, people are very concerned about what kind of shoes they wear and do they look good. But biblically speaking, God's people ought to have beautiful feet. And so we want to examine our feet today. Are they beautiful feet? Do we use our feet to take the gospel to people? Different ways of doing it, we know. You can put the gospel in somebody's letterbox. They can read it. Too many letterboxes say no junk mail, but the gospel's not junk mail. If they want to argue with it, tell them it goes a lot further than pizza advertisements. And you know, it's not junk. No, so beautiful feet. Beautiful feet. We all want to have beautiful feet. And so that's very, very, very important. All right, Sam, now if you'd please read verses 18 to 21.
Okay, so
Here we see that Israel was rejected. We've seen the reason for their rejection. They tried to seek it by works rather than faith. Here's the result of the rejection. And they're no longer at the center of God's dealings. The Gentiles, during the time from the time of Israel's rejection onward, have been at the center, but they're going to come back to the center. There's 69 weeks of years that God said Israel would be at the center, and she rejected. The 70th week is about to begin. That will be the tribulation. God will, again, Israel is classed with everyone else who hears today, but the time is coming when he will again turn back and intensify his working with his ancient people. We're getting very, very close to that time. Everything is pointing to it. But in this period, they come the same way everyone else must come. So they are no, in this period, they're not the special people in the sense that they were before. They are still special, still unique, but not in the sense that they are at the center of God's program. They will be shortly. They were in the past. They are going to be in the future. But now it's whosoever will may come, 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 the whole world. Israel, Jerusalem is not at the center. It's the world. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. But the day is coming. So the result of the rejection, they were not rejected. It's not replacement theology. It's not the church takes the place of Israel. It's just that during this parenthesis, God is calling a people out from the whole world as his special people. Shortly, though, Israel will be right back to where God originally intended them to be, but it will be amidst great tribulation. So you have this, you see this in this portion right here. And in verse 18, the question is asked, have they not heard? And let me say, whether it be Israel or anyone else, a Gentile, have they not heard? When the last page is closed on your life, you can never say, I didn't hear. Because sooner or later, God has promised, before you step out into eternity, God has promised that Christ is the light that lighteneth every man that cometh into the world, every woman, every boy, every girl. And so one can say, I never heard, I never had an opportunity to be saved. Psalms 98, verse 2, the Lord hath made known his salvation to the whole world. Titus 2, 11, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Israel could not say they didn't hear. They heard and heard and heard and heard. People in the southern United States have heard and heard and heard and heard. Some places, they've not heard as much. But God promises you today that before you step into eternity, you have heard enough. And you will hear. Again, you must come to Christ. So you can never say that. You can never say, oh, we didn't know. And then here again, he talks about making Israel jealous by them not so much being that special, having that special place that they had in Old Testament times. And it's kind of like the parable of the prodigal son. The prodigal son, he went off into the far country. He did everything a person shouldn't do, but he came back. But the elder son didn't do any of those things, but his own heart wasn't right. And when the father opened his arms to the prodigal son, the elder brother got a bit jealous. Now that's kind of likens what the Bible pictures Israel's attitude is to the Gentiles, at least as it's pictured here in Romans. And we were a foolish nation. That's what the Bible says we were. Our nations were worshiping idols until the gospel came. We were foolish. We didn't have a schoolmaster around us like Israel had. Some of us may have had the benefit of a Christian home. Many did not have the benefit of a Christian home. But Israel had it all. And so there's a certain jealousy presented here. And that's the reason for it. Nevertheless, we're the people that sat in darkness. We've seen a great light. But he says, all day long have I to Israel. He says, in verse 20, he says, and Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. We weren't seeking him. We were just typical lost sinners. We heard the gospel. We responded. We didn't have the background. We could never say Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were our fathers. We didn't have a place like Jerusalem. We didn't have a temple. We were just typical lost people. But we heard, we came. And then in verse 21, to Israel he says, and to Israel he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Let me just show you here on this whosoever will today, and just try and close this message. Whosoever will, the broadest possible invitation. Whosoever will. Isn't it remarkable in this passage dealing with Israel that we've got some of the most pertinent information we need to have on salvation, on how to be saved? So the broadest possible invitation, whosoever will. It's found three times in these immediate verses. The easiest possible condition, shall call. Now, that's a call of faith. The simplest possible supplication, on the name of the Lord, knowing that He is the Lord, and knowing that He's the Lord who died for us. The greatest possible salvation shall be saved. Just a couple of points in passing as we close the message. You'll notice in verse 3 this morning, it says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness. Now, many people are ignorant, but there's a certain willful ignorance. I'm confused, and I kind of like being confused, and because if I'm not confused, I'm going to have to get my lights straightened out, so I think I will just remain confused. So there's a certain, often a willful, I'm too happy with my sinful life. I think I'll just stay confused. There's a lot of people that do it that way. Say not in thine heart, in verse 6, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, who shall descend into the deep. You don't have to go on a long pilgrimage, long journey. You don't have to go to heaven or into the depths. You can be saved right where you are, right where you are. You don't need to go to Jerusalem or, I know when we were in, when we were first converted, I heard about Spurgeon's Tabernacle. To me, that it wasn't Mecca, but it was just, that was where the great Charles Spurgeon was, 6,000 every Sunday. We heard about it. We heard about in London there was this place where John Wesley's heart was strangely warmed. Oh, if we just went there, we could, you know, we would just get a nearer sense. No, you don't need to do any of that. Just right where you are. So we don't need to go on a long journey to be saved. Verse 13, the whosoever will includes you. It's found in chapter 9, verse 33. It's found in chapter 10, verse 11. It's found in chapter 10, verse 13. You just come. You just come. Whosoever will. Verse 17, faith cometh by hearing. You hear the Bible. That's why we emphasize people giving, we give out the Bible on the streets of London. We give them John 1, everything you need to know about Christ. Highlighted verses. John 3, in the same tract. Everything you need to know about being born again, about God so loved the world, about the great truths of that. So it's faith cometh by hearing. Hearing. It's not a poem. It's not a sad story. It's not even our example, but our example must back up what we're declaring. So faith cometh by hearing. And then notice in verse 21, and we will make an application here as we close, but to Israel he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands. Now we have some of our folks do. We have Esther back here. Every day she's out on the street, she stretches forth her hands. But she's got something in her hand. And it's the Word of God. And it's Philippians 2, verse 16, holding forth the Word of life. So we stretch forth our hand, but we've got something in our hand. And it's the Word of God. So very, very plain and very simple. Let's bow for prayer. As we bow before the Lord this morning, Romans 9, 10, and 11, a parenthesis, what about Israel? The table is basically being spread for Israel. Israel's the emphasis, but there's an awful lot for whosoever will. And we can come and we can learn and we can see from their example why they fell. Is the same reason why we would fall and be rejected. And it's faith cometh by hearing. And the hand was stretched out to us. And in the hand that was stretched out to us was the gospel truth. Christ died for poor lost sinners. That's what we were. We were saved. We grasped that hand by faith. We trusted Christ. Do you know Christ this morning? Have you accepted Him? We trust that you have. In Thy name.